It's now time for our monthly installment of Soundbites, produced in partnership with Sauce Magazine. This month's topic is about a beverage that's been around for millennia but is now increasing in popularity here in the United States. Here's contributor Steve Potter.
Our topic today is a popular fermented drink, kombucha. Heather Hughes is the managing editor of Sauce Magazine. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
And Heather, I hate to admit it, but kombucha has not been on my radar at all. Am I the only one?
You are not the only one. That's part of the reason we decided to do this little Elixir article in our last issue about kombucha. It's become a lot more popular in the past 10 years or so. There are bigger companies making it. It's more in normal grocery stores, less specialty health food shops. But a lot of people still don't know about it. So that's why we're here to talk about it.
Okay, I'm excited. Well, I want to know more. Let's please welcome Tom McNeeder. He and his wife, Tricia, are co-owners of Companion Kombucha. And William Pauly is the master brewer and founder of Confluence Kombucha. Hi, guys. Welcome. Tell me a little bit about basically just about your businesses. You're both producers of the product.
Correct. Yeah. We just opened up a small tasting room in the Grove next to Urban Chestnut. We share a building with the Urban Chestnut Research Brewery, which is kind of really synergistic in what we do because we're doing flavors that nobody's really doing in the kombucha world, and there's no other place in St. Louis to come and just sample all of them all at once. So we do flights of whatever we have on tap that day. So
that's Confluence. Mm-hmm. So is your business any different than that, Companion?
Right. Well, we don't have a retail outlet. We produce all of ours and package it and sell it through local grocery stores. We are in some restaurants and cafes and a few other places like the Science Center, Art Museum.
Uh-huh. Well, so do you call yourself brewers? Is that the right term?
Absolutely.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
If we make a fermented product.
But so fermented means it's got at least some amount of alcohol in it.
Mm-hmm.
So is it like beer or what?
Some would say it's kind of like tea beer, but most kombucha is going to be anywhere between 0.1% and 1% just naturally occurring alcohol. To be a non-alcoholic producer, you have to keep it under 0.5% when it leaves your facility. We have a couple that are under 0.5%, but we're actually an alcoholic brewery. So that we can cover all of our bases.
I get the impression, though, that people don't drink kombucha because of the alcohol content, like they might some other products. Would that be right?
Yeah, I don't think that's the appeal here at all. I think it's getting in on a fermented food trend that's part of the appeal to some people, the health benefits of drinking something that's fermented that has probiotics in it. And then it's also just the taste. Sour things are much more popular these days. Kombucha is a fermented tea that has an almost like vinegary quality to it. So if you like sour beer, you will like certain kinds of kombucha. But then on the other end, I would say Companion tastes more like a tea than it does a beer. It's something a little bit sweeter. It can be refreshing or like a treat, depending on the flavor that you get.
Uh-huh. How long have both you guys been around doing this professionally?
Professionally, we launched April 1st, 2015. So 2 years, no fooling. And we just celebrated our two-year anniversary. We were at opening day in Ballpark Village. We had a booth on that Sunday, and I didn't even realize the day before was our two-year anniversary. It's just so busy.
What about you, William?
That's great.
I've been brewing kombucha for almost 8 years now.
I think you both started in your home kitchen or something, didn't you?
Right. We started back in 2009 at home, but when we went commercial and actually got a commercial space, because you can't do this out of home, you have to have a space. And we have a space in a small business incubator here in St. Louis, and that's when we got that in 2014. It took us another 8 months to launch.
Were there other people here in St. Louis commercially producing kombucha when you started?
Nope.
No, and that's the funny thing about kombucha brewers versus craft beer brewers. And I've heard this from people in the beer industry that sell to both of our industries, that craft beer brewers talk to each other, very tight-knit. That's because beer brewing's been around a long time and everybody knows everything, whereas all of us craft kombucha brewers around the country are all making it up ourselves for the first time. There's been nobody before us. So a lot of us are very closed.
Is that scary or exciting?
Both.
I think it's exciting. I mean, I've tried to taste as many kombucha that I can. Like I went on, last year I went on a whole trip. Like we went to like five different breweries, tried like every flavor that they had, and just seeing what people are doing. I mean, it's wide open for whatever you want to do. You want to go medicinal, you want to have it taste like beer, you want it to be like a sweet tea. Like there's all different kinds of thoughts on it. And there's just, in the last 4 years, they just started Kombucha Brewers International, which is our only trade organization. So I've been there, I went twice, and just, I mean, they had the biggest like kombucha tasting that I've ever experienced. It was incredible. Like you got people from Idaho, you got people from California, Australia, and it just keeps growing and growing. The international market's really growing.
How many members are in the association now?
I think
130 more.
I think it's getting up to like 250.
Is it that many?
Yeah, it keeps growing 25% every year.
Heather, are they the only two producers here in town?
No, there's another company called Comblue Kombucha that sells a handful of flavors. It's slightly different than both of their products. It's much more carbonated. It has a lot of like aromatics on the nose and then a mild flavor on the palate. It would be more in the like light tea variety of kombucha.
Well, where does the name come from, kombucha? What does that mean?
So kombu is... There's a seaweed also named kombu, and what it does is it sits on the top of the water, so it means to float in Chinese, and then cha is tea in most Asian languages, so it basically means floating tea.
Well, I admitted this was not on my radar at all, kombucha was not, until just very recently, but I took a little informal survey of people I knew within the last 24 hours, and I found it seemed like my unscientific results were... Half the people were like me and didn't know what it was. Other people told me a lot about it. One person I talked to thought it was made out of mushroom fungus or something. So
it's because of I should let you explain it since you made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so, bloom. Well, yeah, and it kind of goes back to what we were just talking about the name. The culture itself sits on the top of the tea, and so it protects it while it's fermenting, and it continues to grow this people think it's a mushroom, and technically, yes, it is in that realm, uh-huh. But you don't need mycelium for it to grow. So it's a little bit different.
Is it hard to get people to understand it? Because in reading about it, I mean, when I was just reading on the printed page, what it was, it didn't really sound appealing to me.
Well, it's a very complex dance that's happening in there between the bacteria and the yeast. So the SCOBY, which sits on the top, is a symbiotic colony of bacteria and yeast. I mean, it's probably the healthiest beverage you can actually put in your body.
We're going to talk about the health benefits, and we're going to sample some here in just a second. Yeah. But Heather, in April's Sauce Magazine, you wrote an article about this very topic, and I just want to read the very first sentence that you began with. And it was, from sour beer to kimchi, trendy fermented favorites can be polarizing. Polarizing?
Oh, I'd say so. We had a lot of fights in the office about this article. Well, I shouldn't say fights, but some people really like the fermented part of kombucha, that it tastes sour and vinegary, a little bit funky, and some people really hate that flavor. It's the same thing with kimchi or sour beer. Some people are really into it and some people aren't. Our art director actually wrote a little frowny face next to the article in our little like calendar board in the office because she just hates the flavor of kombucha. But I think that's part of why we wanted to write this article, or I did, to convince her that there are some kombuchas that you would like. It's polarizing at its extremes, but like beer or anything like that, you can find one that you enjoy within the range.
And to follow up on that, we see that a lot at festivals, where we do a lot of festivals here in town. And I'm standing there and I see people walk by and, hey, have you had your kombucha yet today? And they look, oh, no, I don't like kombucha. I'm like, come here, you haven't tried ours. And I drag them in and they try it and they're like, wow, okay, that's really good. And we convince, and they end up buying some. They come back later and they love it. And we're making converts all over the place because we are trying to mainstream it a bit more. We don't ferment ours all the way to a really sour point. We try to ferment ours to a really dry point. And there's a way to do it to stop at a certain point so it's not so sour, so vinegary.
I think that's why it's such a pleasure to have both of you here, because I think you represent the range at which the kombucha industry is growing. It's getting bigger. It's getting more approachable. ComCom is in like all the local grocery stores. You can get it anywhere. And then On the other, on Confluence side, you're getting really experimental with flavors, creating weird stuff, things that I've never tried before, that show sort of like the extent of what you can do with kombucha, that isn't always as approachable, but is really interesting, especially if you already know that you like kombucha.
William stuff is fantastic.
I've never noticed it in the grocery store. Where do they sell it? What section?
It's always refrigerated. Because not that it'll spoil, but if it's not kept refrigerated, because it is a live, active culture inside the bottle, it'll begin to ferment again if it comes back to room temperature. And the byproducts of that, of fermentation, are alcohol and carbon dioxide. So the pressure will grow and the alcohol level will go up and we won't be legal. So it's kept refrigerated, usually in the produce sections. A lot of produce sections. So Deer Burgers, you go down the produce aisle, you look on your left side, there's a whole wall of kombucha. If you shop at Deer Burgers, you've been walking right past it. Hmm. And we're in the bottom, unfortunately, but that's because we're a little local guy.
Right.
And but everybody has it at Whole Foods or right next to the registers.
Well, William, how do people use it? I mean, do you have a – you say it's healthy. Do you have a glass for breakfast or do you – and just a couple a day, or can you drink 10 of them in the evening while you're watching TV? How do people do it?
It's not really like a session kind of thing. But I always suggest people, if you've never had kombucha before, you're not intaking fermented foods, to start off with about 4 ounces in the morning or like with a meal, and just kind of see how your body reacts, because everybody's going to react a little bit different, because what it does is it starts to it starts to get into your digestive tract, and you know, if you have some things going on in your digestive system, it'll start to move things in a more healthy way. It'll start balancing your bacteria in your gut, and that's like where all the health benefits start to come from, is balancing that bacteria in your gut. And that's what all the fermented foods and all this trending in that realm is stemming from, because people are understanding that your gut health is the most important part of your overall health.
All right. I've never experienced this before. You gentlemen were kind enough to bring some samples with you. Where should we start?
Okay. I'm going to start off with a plain tea. It's called Kukicha. And what it is it's made from the stems of the tea plant, and then they toast them. So it's kind of low in caffeine, but it's got a little bit of a toasty flavor, and it's just really... it's not flavored with anything.
And I want to mention that the jars you brought these in are like, you know, old jelly jars.
Yep, that's how we sell it too. You come in and you can get a quart of kombucha to go.
All right.
Or a growler. We're just like going to a regular brewery.
So. We're all
going to
try this at the same time. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
People had mentioned, when I was asking about this morning, several people mentioned this vinegar taste, mm-hmm. and I sure detected in this one.
Yeah. Well, I brew mine to a point where you have that as a background note, because I feel that's like the most authentic product with kombucha, is that it has that, because the organic acids that are produced in the process, acetic acid, gluconic acid, produce that taste, and that's actually one of the other main benefits of drinking kombucha, is that those acids help detoxify your blood, your liver. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
And most importantly, it tastes great. That's my
right. That's Heather Hughes from Sauce Magazine. We're talking to Tom Nieder of Companion Kombucha and with William Pauly of Confluence Kombucha. So, Tom, let's try one of yours this time, and what would be good to follow that with?
We'll try our dry hopped called Love and Hoppiness. And it's really been taken off. It's one of our newer flavors.
I haven't tried that one yet. I'm excited.
Oh, it's great. It's a lot of people are a little scared at first because they think it's going to taste like a beer, but it really doesn't.
That actually scares people?
Well, some women.
In a beer city? That's why we started doing it. Yeah. It's like, you know, we have to cross that, you know, that it's really kind of a palate thing with people, so...
What am I tasting? Sort of an apple?
Peach. Or grapefruit. Finish it grapefruity.
Is it just hops in there? Or
just hops.
It lacks that vinegar taste of Williams.
Right. Mm-hmm. We try to get it really dry, and it's just within a matter of days. It does have organic acids in it, but not so much that it's just a mouthful of vinegar. The it's not going to do anybody any good if they're not going to drink it. and this is much more palatable. The I do find at festivals when we do it on tap at festivals, when I see people come up and I'm starting to pour from, they say, "Oh, I make it at home," which a lot of people do, and we encourage. I stop pouring and say, "Okay, this probably won't be as sour or strong as you like at home." So home brewers seem to almost develop almost like a tolerance, like we do at home. I mean, personally, at home we make ours a little more sour. But you have to – it's great for us, great for William, but the majority of the people are going to Deerberg's or Whole Foods or Lucky's. They're not ready for that.
Heather, we've done programs here with Sauce Magazine about other beverages, and we always talk about food pairings. Does that apply to this?
Yeah, of course. You can actually – Confluence has food. I don't usually drink kombucha with food. I think of it more as like a treat during the day or as a replacement for beer sometimes if I don't actually want a beer, but I do want something that's a little vinegary and stuff like that. Do you guys have pairings that you do?
Well, we do whole dinners or lunches paired with kombucha. You come in, do 8 courses, and we'll have 8 different kombuchas to go with you. The full idea of the tasting room is it's a full-on tasting room. You know, we do really inventive food that's vegan and vegetarian to pair with the kombucha. So
can we sample another?
Absolutely. So one of our flagships is a pineapple turmeric kombucha that's also also has white peppercorn.
Now this one sounds kind of has my interest. All right. Anything you want to say more about this before we try it?
I try to keep it always on at the tasting room, but it sells out pretty quickly.
This is my favorite so far, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's you use fresh turmeric, is that right?
We use fresh turmeric. We use the peels and other things as well. We also make another fermented drink from the rinds of the pineapple. And we crush each pineapple by hand and infuse it. We toast the peppercorns.
That's great. It has the sweetness from the pineapple, but you also get a almost green pepper vegetal taste, which I'm guessing is from the turmeric.
Heather, can you
get the white pepper too?
Heather, we sort of touched on this, but do you have a feel for how popular this really is? Maybe I've missed this too. I haven't seen it on a restaurant menu.
It is not served at a lot of restaurants, although increasingly you can find it in places. I know Local Chef Kitchen has some. I think ComCom is there. They have it on tap.
They have it on tap there. We're in about 5 or 6 coffee houses. We're about to be in a sushi restaurant out in West County. They emailed me and wanted to try it.
Well, I could see maybe some of it tasting a little bit like sake.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And it there are people who make cocktails with it.
You mean add other liquors to it?
Yeah, yeah. Like in a...
I did a cocktail party for a local ad agency that here in the West End and an open house during design week. And we mixed our elderberry with Cointreau, and then a little limoncello on top.
Tom, do you have another one we can sample?
Fantastic.
And what'd you bring?
This one, let's try lavender. You seem to like the drier.
Lavender.
Thank you.
Boy, you know, one thing that strikes me, each one of these, they're so different, the variety and the taste and the sensation.
Of our 7 flavors, I don't think I've met anybody that liked all 7.
All right, the bottom line, I'll let you all have a final say on this. What's the appeal of kombucha for those who have never tried it before? What would you say to them about it?
I mean, there's a lot of places to start with somebody. So what I always try to do is see where people are coming from and see how I can... best talk to them about the product, because it is a complicated thing. And to be honest, it's really all about taste. If you're in the beverage industry, it's about taste. We can't really talk about the health benefits as kombucha brewers because none of it is substantiated by the FDA. So we can't talk about that, but we could talk about the flavors and the taste.
What would you do to hook them, Tom?
Just be prepared to feel great. Really, I have people over and over come up to me at demos, at grocery stores, that sort of thing. Say they drink it and they crave it. They love the way it makes them feel. And that's why they come back and they start drinking it nearly every day, or they start making it at home.
So, Heather, would you say St. Louis has a kombucha scene?
I would. I think it's growing every day. And, yeah, if you like sweet, tart flavors, give it a shot.
That's Sauce Magazine managing editor Heather Hughes talking with contributor Steve Potter about kombucha, a fermented drink that's increasing in popularity and is featured in this month's issue. Heather was joined by Tom Nieder, co-owner of Companion Kombucha, and William Pauly, founder and master brewer of Confluence Kombucha. Before we say goodbye, we'd like to acknowledge a nice honor for St. Louis Public Radio's senior producer, Mary Edwards, the longtime producer of this program and an employee of this station since 1974. She was inducted into the St. Louis Media Hall of Fame this past week by the St. Louis Media History Foundation, and we would like to publicly acknowledge that honor and congratulate her. So, congratulations to Mary Edwards. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Colin Mueller, Monica Ramirez, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis On the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.